You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Okay, our next presenter on maintaining momentum is Ed Angleton. Ed Angleton is vice chairman of the Marion County Party, and Ed ran in 2008 for House District 100. And Ed did a great job of maintaining the momentum of his race. He did everything a good candidate should do between announcing his race and then the final few weeks of the race. And he did a great job those last 2 weeks, too. I don't want to take anything away. Ed wore out a pair of shoes. He knocked on every door in his district. He wore out a knee. He almost wore out his marriage. He's one of those people that Mike talked about who, we'd love to have Ed run again, but he said, well, I'd have to find a new wife. So he won't. So he is here to assist you in maintaining your momentum and acting as a good campaign manager for somebody. So if you all give a round of applause for Mr. Ed Angleton.
Thank you, Chris. Today I'm going to speak to you about maintaining the momentum, the time that after you've got all the paperwork filed, you've made your initial press releases, up to the period of the last minute crunch heading into the election itself. So what does this entitle? One quick other thing too I want to mention before I get started. Sean Shepard mentioned in his, topic that, you know, being able to speak to the media is a major selling point, something you really need to do. And if you're uncomfortable speaking in public, find a chapter at Toastmasters, go there, and they will teach you how to speak in public. So, with no further ado, maintaining momentum. Got 6 points I want to cover here. First is we're going to start with a plan. You need to know your district. Second point is that personal touch. Getting out and canvassing the neighborhoods, knocking on doors. Three, make every day a shearing festival. Anybody know where reference to have that one? From Ben Hur. It's a really obscure thing. But events, festivals, fairs, mail-ins, mails-in, direct mailings, ET, phone home, phone calls, very important. And finally, we band of brothers, dealing with volunteers. So, start with a plan. Baldrick, I've got a clever plan. Blackadder. Break your district down into manageable units. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Use the political subdivisions, counties, townships, boards, precincts. If you're running for, say, a state representative office, in Marion County, you're just dealing with a township, basically. If you're outside Marion County, in a more rural location, you're going to be dealing with counties as your major political subdivisions. You may have about 3 or 4 counties that are part of the district you're running in. And within each precinct, look for neighborhood organizations. These will be your homeowners associations, your watch committees, your block watches, whatever, crime watches. People that you can go and talk to. And finally, establish who is the contact person in each neighborhood. So, start with a plan. Know your district. Get a map of your district. You don't want to be spending all your time over here campaigning when your district's here. You know, it sounds like common sense, but people forget that. I had at some of the neighborhood association meetings I went to, in my district, there were people there representing candidates from other districts. I said, why are you here? Not that I mind you wasting your time, you know, especially considering who it was. But, so know your district. Get a map. They'll help you plan, too. And then, Know the precincts within your district. This is 1502. It's a precinct here in Marion County. It encompasses the area from what's known as Fletcher Place down to into Fountain Square area. And then the Fletcher Place neighborhood is up in this area here. So know the districts. Know what you're talking about. And, for example, if you're here in Marion County, go to indy.gov and then get a listing of all the neighborhood associations within your area, that, by township that you want to look for. So for Fletcher Place, it gives the boundaries, gives the contact person, and gives the time, the date that was last updated. So this is fairly recent, so it's probably good. Some of them haven't been updated for 5 years. So they're probably a little iffy as far as that contact person. But you can still try. This is the person you need to talk to if you want to show up at their neighborhood association meeting. He can get you on the agenda. So, to talk to neighborhood organizations, first of all, you need to find out what their meeting schedule is. If they've got a website, that makes it easy because they usually have it posted there. A schedule of their meetings. Use the neighborhood contact to schedule a short presentation. You have campaign materials with you to pass out at that presentation. You be gracious, you be thoughtful, and you listen to what the voters, the people there are telling you. You take notes to follow up questions that you don't have the answers for. You get back to them. And then plan to canvass that neighborhood within the next week or so. While your image is still fresh in their minds. They'll know it's you coming through. Cardinal rule number one. This hasn't been talked about yet, and I think it's very important. Never, under any circumstance, no matter how stupid that person may be, never argue with a voter. It doesn't do you any good. So, canvassing. His houses are rocking, don't bother knocking. Voter lists. Where can you get voter lists? From private sector programs like Aristotle, etc., or your friendly local county clerk's office, which may or may not be so friendly, depending upon who you are and what their attitude is.
What should you ask for when you go to the clerk's office, specifically?
What you want to do is get the registration records for the registered voters in a particular area, district.
Okay.
That's what I did. I went actually to the election board.
Yes. You're exactly right, because I just talked to them a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
You want to ask them for a polling list.
The polling list,
and
yes.
Same with the precinct maps. Where would you get those?
Precinct maps, the county clerk's office should have them. They may not give you very good ones. Here in Marion County, our friends of the Democratic Party have done a wonderful job of cataloging all these for us. So you can go to their website and steal them. So you don't have to worry about that. And as far as district maps, you can go to the state and get it. You can go to the county government in Indianapolis. It's indy.gov has the clerk's office. They have this beautiful psychedelic map of all the districts within Marion County. But it takes forever to download. It's big. And you'll get something that, once you distill it down, it's going to look something like this. So you've got names, addresses. You can sort it out by any number of criteria to make a list. Take that list, pair it up with your map for the precinct, and develop a walking plan. Some commercial programs like Aristotle will do this for you. So that's the nice thing about that. If you don't have the money for Aristotle, then this is your best alternative. So, like I said, use database tools to organize the lists and use precinct maps to plan a walking route. At the door, you want to look professional. Wear something that says you are a candidate, whether it is a campaign button, or a name badge, something to let people know who you are. And the other thing, too, is do not spend more than 30 seconds waiting for a response after knocking. You'll never get anywhere. Basically, my rule of thumb is I would hit the door, I would knock, I would count to 15, I would knock again, count to 15, if nobody shows up, I pull out something, stick it in the door, leave it, go on. You know, if you hear them coming to the door after you start to leave, then go back, definitely. But if it's if they don't answer within 30 seconds, probably, if you don't hear any response at all, there's probably nobody home. And you don't want to spend 2 minutes there knocking on a door when you could be using that 2 minutes at somebody else's house, actually talking to a voter. Three, if no answer, the campaign materials, don't put them in the mailbox. That can get you in big trouble. Have a supply of, sorry, I missed you, pre-signed materials. In my campaign, I had no Republican opponent. I had a Democratic incumbent and myself. That was it. So I wanted to reach out to the Republican voters in my district. So I used the voter list, separated them out by party, got the Republicans based on the primary voting records, and sent this postcard to most, to about all of the Republicans in the district. It's very simple. It says, wanted Republican voters, now is the time to come to the aid of your state. And it goes on and says, you know, that they chose not to run a candidate, that if you vote the straight ticket, you might as well be voting for the Democratic candidate, because there's no Republican. So vote for me, and you're not voting for that Democrat if you don't like that Democrat.
Ed, what was your timing on that?
The timing on that was about a month before the, came out about a month before the election.
You think anybody was awake and knew there was an election going on at that point?
Yeah. I think, I would imagine this probably got me at least 1,000 votes. As a matter of fact, even a couple of the Republican precinct committeemen said they loved this thing. So I got kudos on from them. Last but not least, phone calls. Volunteers are a must for this. And phone calls are going to work best in the final stages of the campaign. Because you want to, this is the push to election time. You want to have a script for the callers to use. You don't want anybody freelancing out there. You want your message to go across, not some semblance of your message. And you're going to want volunteers. Volunteers are the most important part of your campaign. They can assist you with all of the little details. Getting volunteers can be difficult, but they're most worth. They're very worth it. If they volunteer, it means they want to work, use them. And always be looking to gain more. Source for volunteers, your county party, state party. Chris gets people volunteer to him. He'll send the information along to you. Your key volunteers, though, are your campaign manager, your treasurer, and a volunteer coordinator. You don't really have time to deal. If you get a lot of volunteers, you don't really have time to deal with it yourself. You're out there going door to door. You're knocking on doors. You're doing all. You're raising money. You're doing all the things that a candidate should be doing. You don't have time to coordinate the volunteer activities. So what you need is someone of the volunteers to be a volunteer coordinator that you can relate to that person, or your campaign manager can relate to that person what needs to be done. They'll assign the people and get it done. So that takes us to the end of this segment. Now is ready for questions and answers.
Ed,
yes.
How intimidating is it to go door to door, and how do you get over that?
At first, it's a little intimidating. The easiest way to get over that is just to go out and do it. By the time you've knocked on four or five doors, you start to get in a groove, and you just keep going, you just keep moving.
Does it help to have people with you?
It does help to have people with you. Because one of the things you want to want to take with you when you go out is you want to take your campaign materials. If you have yard signs, you want to take some of those. You want to have those available too, because if the person says, yeah, I like what you're saying, you know, and say, well, can I put a yard sign in your yard? Sure. You want to have the yard sign to put up in the yard then before they change their mind. So you don't want to have to come back and do it later. So having a volunteer that, you know, has a couple of these things with them is very good. Very good to have. The other thing too is, and volunteers and going door to door, is you can use them. You can hit a precinct in force on one day. That's something else good to do. Just, you go out and you just go street by street. You know, everybody goes, you pair up, you know, hit one of these, you know, hit the houses in row, you leapfrog over each other. You get down to the end of the street, there's the car, you know, the campaign wagon is there. You replenish your materials, get water, whatever you need, replenish yourself, and you keep moving. One of the things you need to do when you're on the stump, when you're out there canvassing, is make sure you have water available, some like trail mix or something, because it's very important to keep, you know, hydrated and fed, keep your blood sugar up. The other thing I would recommend too, prior to starting any campaign like this, is if you're not comfortable walking for 2 hours, get comfortable walking for 2 hours. Start doing it. Work your way up to it then.
You lost a lot of weight on the campaign trail.
I lost some weight on the campaign trail. I lost, like I said, 2 pairs of shoes. My time that election morning came, I could barely walk. I was at the polls walking around like Frankenstein that morning because I couldn't bend my knees. But I was out there. I took painkillers and gritted it through.
How many doors did you think you knocked on?
God, not enough. But you know, I didn't get, unfortunately, to everyone like you, to all of them. I would have liked to have gotten to more, but you know, working for a living and campaigning don't really go well together. And as the season got later, the hours after work, the daylight hours got shorter, and you don't go around at night. People are going to think,
it's October 2009 as we're filming this, which means we have about a year until October 2010.
Right.
Between, and Ryan Leakey is going to talk more about October, because October is your most important month in any campaign. Mm-hmm. But what kind of timeline would you put to some of this stuff? Like, how soon? I mean, it's October, we have a year until the next election. When would you start doing some of this fundraising, putting together some
fundraising? You can start if you know you're going to be a candidate. You filed your, at least your exploratory committee. Do it now. Start now. Start raising money now. The money you raise now will multiply, become more money later. You can use that money also to help make more money. One of the things I did during my campaign was, I had a campaign event at one of the Indians games. I had to use it as a fundraiser. We had a picnic. We did the picnic. We did the game. And I used some of the money I had to pay the deposits. And then they got the money from collected from the sale of the tickets and such, the fundraiser, to, you know, pay that back in plus more. So it worked out very nicely. Plus, I got my name on the scoreboard. So, you know, it also was like some advertising, too.
What about some of the walking maps and the precinct maps and then actually going out and getting your teams knocking on doors? When would you start? Would you start that now? A year?
Not now. I would start that the day after the primary, next May. Go out. Matter of fact, what I would do is if you have people out there next May during the primary, is as the voters are coming out of the poll in your precincts, hand them a card. Let them know that you're running, that regardless of what happened in that primary election, you're a candidate now. And these are what your issues are. You start hitting them then.
What about, what are the best days for walking and canvassing? I mean, is it weeknights? Is it Saturdays? Is it any day?
It varies. It varies greatly. Weekends can be iffy. That's when you've got the most time, because people are either home or they're not, you know, a lot of people are home on the weekends, but then again, a lot of people go out and do things on the weekends. So, you know, just try to hit as much as you can. You know, if you can't get everything done on the weekend, you miss a few houses, go back maybe on a weeknight and hit those houses.
And probably before it gets dark.
And before it gets dark.
Once it's dark, it's...
Yeah, no one wants to open their door when it's dark, right? Especially in Marion County. Yes?
And I have one more thing to add. Some of the books I read about going door-to-door also mentioned that it's a good idea to go as a couple, a man and a woman. because sometimes that looks a little less threatening or intimidating. So, like, you're going to knock on a single woman's door, for instance. Maybe if you're a single guy, that she's not going to answer. But
right.
maybe she'll answer if she sees a couple there instead.
Yeah, that would be
a good idea. I'm trying to use that when I go.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. But like I said, if you do what you can do, what you've got.
I've just got a couple things to add to what Ed said, because I think out of all the people in the room, I probably have pretty much the most experience in running campaigns, and not running for office, but running campaigns. And when I'm a campaign manager of a statewide campaign, as I've been two or three times, or even of local campaigns, or running for my office myself, staff is one of the most important things you could acquire as early as possible. Ed put the three key staff people out there that you have to have to run a legitimate campaign. You have to have a campaign manager, you have to have a treasurer legally, and you need a volunteer coordinator. There are adjunct people if you're running a statewide campaign. You need media coordinators, you need fundraising coordinators, schedulers, things like that. But those three key people that Ed put up there are the most important, because when I ran a campaign, and Mike Qualby had no left, well, admit I'm right on this, the campaign candidate, after the declaration of candidacy and the nomination, is responsible, from my perspective, for doing two things: talking to voters and asking for money. The candidate will not be writing on the blog 34 hours a day. The candidate will not be designing campaign materials, designing the website, or doing all those other things that, unless you're running a sole person campaign for a relatively small office, that you don't have time to do. If you want to take a serious shot at getting elected and having a major impact on political discussion that you're involved with in whatever district you're in, you can't be doing all that stuff. You have to concentrate on what your message is, on presenting that message to voters, and on raising money. I had a candidate for governor in 2000 who was genetically incapable of asking people for money, and it handicapped our campaign. 2 years later, I had a candidate for Secretary of State in Indiana, and she single-handedly raised $43,000. And I think, to my knowledge, that's probably the most money we spent on a political, libertarian political campaign in Indiana, right, Mark?
Close.
Anybody else think of Dylan spend more or something? Okay. Anyway, and with that money, we were able to do a lot of things that we would not have been able to do. We were able to run hundreds, if not thousands, of radio spots the last 10 days of the campaign. We were able to publish a newspaper called the Hoosier Libertarian that we published 250,000 copies of and distributed them around the state. But those are not something, Rebecca Sinkhurst religiously called people, asked them for money, and talked to voters. She didn't get involved in that and any of the other stuff. So if you're going to make a serious run for office, I would ask you to identify, at the very least, a campaign manager, a treasurer, which Mark and Todd will speak to earlier, to make sure that you don't end up before the Indiana Election Commission, having to talk your way out of fines, as some people have done in the past, or your county election board, and a volunteer coordinator. And when people volunteer, make sure, as Ed said, that you give them something to do, because they're interested enough in you and in your message to come forward. It's abjectly important for you to give them something to do, not on a daily basis, but as often as possible.
And sometimes people have watched the candidate with Robert Redford too many times, and they think that it's paid staff, paid staff, paid staff. Dan Burton has paid staff. Evan Bayh is going to have paid staff. But most of your House candidates don't have paid staff. They may, the county office may coordinate a lot of stuff. Your county chairs will help you coordinate stuff. But if you're running for a state house race and somebody asks you, hey, I'll be your campaign manager, but it's going to cost you this, this, and this. Well, you just heard the most of any libertarians ever raised is $40,000.
In Indiana.
For 1 year salary. So you've got to use every bit. There are so many. The thing that I love about the Libertarian Party, especially in Indiana, is that people run for office and help our candidates because they're passionate about the cause. And if you can't find somebody who's passionate about helping you for free and volunteering their time, supporting you, then maybe you don't want that person helping you. So when people ask, and I promise you, they will ask you if they can be paid staff, just politely say, I'd love to, but I've got to make sure that that money goes to getting out more flyers, getting out more materials.
The other thing that came up during Ed's presentation that I wanted to expand upon just a little bit was the idea of voter registration lists and walking lists and mailing lists. Strategically, several years ago, during one of the city-county council races, our candidate raised more money than both the Republican and Democratic candidates put together, and still only ended up with about 70% of the vote because his campaign staff made what I thought was a strategic mistake in targeting Republican voters in a heavily Republican district rather than disaffected or people who hadn't voted at all voters. And I think that he would have gotten a lot more votes had he done what I advised him to. They ignored my advice, and you know, that's just the way it goes. You can't win them all. But those lists are very important. Ed kind of flashed it up there quickly, but when you get the walking list or the voter registration list, it ought to give you information about what elections that person voted in over the past 5 or 6 election cycles. I think I forget how far back they go. It will tell you if they voted in a primary and which primary they pulled a ballot for, Republican or Democrat. If they didn't vote in a primary and voted in the general election consistently over the past several cycles, that might be one of your target voters. Because that's the person who is not self-identified as a Republican or Democrat and is perhaps more open to a third party or Libertarian Party candidate coming in there. And I think that if you, Ed did a perfectly legitimate target with targeting Republicans, where the Republicans forgot to nominate somebody in his district or didn't want to nominate somebody because they didn't want to go up and against an incumbent Democrat.
And it helped him get within 100 votes of the Democrat, of within what 50, the, yeah. of the, within 50 of what the
Republican candidate
typically
are. Absolutely. So when you get those lists, be smart. The state party does get the voter registration list from the Secretary of State every year or every other year. Now, we do have limited access to manipulating that data and getting information out to people. I do want to point out, though, notwithstanding what Chris said earlier, he is the employee of the State Libertarian Party Central Committee, my employee. He is not the employee of every candidate that's going to be running for election in 2010, because if he tried to do that, we would get nothing done. If Chris is going to give support on a daily basis to any of our candidates, my decision is going to be the Secretary of State candidate, because that's the most important to us. You are libertarians. Remember, personal responsibility as well as personal freedom. Do your own research, get your own staff, answer your own questions if at all possible.
That being said, though, I do this for a living. I do this on a day in, day out. I'm a full-time employee. My business is a Libertarian Party business. I probably know the answer, so don't be afraid to call me. Or email me, preferably, because that helps me keep stuff.
But don't pitch to me if you don't get an answer, like, immediately, okay? Don't complain to me. Sorry, I'm really good at it. Any other questions of Ed or about this segment, about managing the middle part of the campaign?
Keep a diary, too.
Yes.
Eric? I have a question. Regarding the campaign staff, can this be anybody or are there any restrictions?
It can be anybody.
The only restriction is, in Indiana, if somebody is a county chair, they cannot be a campaign director. Right, Mark?
I believe so.
Okay.
That's
at least that's why Cheryl Piercy claims you could do something several years ago. Yeah.
Can you elaborate on the voter list? You mentioned that you get them as part of the party, but you can't.
We buy them from the Secretary of State every year. And I'm not a tech person, so somebody who knows, bring me up to date.
It is part of our agreement that we don't use that for candidates. We cannot provide that to candidates. We can use that to build our state party and our county parties, but when it comes to the statewide list, I get it in a giant document file that I can't even open. Mm-hmm. And so we have to go through companies that can parse that out. Those private companies he talked about, Aristotle, Labels and Lists, Emerges. And they do a great job of providing those walking lists and doing the things and saving you some time. I'd call Aristotle, get a hold of me, I'll hook you up with Aristotle, Emerges, or Labels and Lists, and price that out with them and raise that money. Because it's part of our agreement with those companies that we cannot provide it to candidates because that's how they make their living. So I've got to say that. One more thing, when you're walking and knocking on doors, keep a diary. Every time you go walking, write down, I went to this address, this team went to this address, write down what you said to them. Just helps you keep track. If you find a friendly face in June, you want to make sure you go back in August and October. So it's a long summer. When you're running for office, you've got kids, you've got a job, and so you want to make sure you keep yourself motivated. So I want to thank you guys. I want to thank Ed.